Amen. I'm just trying to see where he wants to start. I know I'm not going to do the whole lesson tonight. I just want to give you what he wants me to give you. So I think we'll, let's go to Romans 4. Let's go to Romans 4. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off on Sunday with convinced to the core. So this is just part two. I don't know how many parts it's going to be. I didn't know it was going to be part one. Romans 4, verse 20, I believe I want. Yeah. Well, I'll start in verse 19. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Now, who are we talking about? Abraham. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him righteousness. The King, I was reading this passage this afternoon, and God highlighted a word to me. And it's one of those words, it's in the scripture, you read it, but you don't really think about it. It said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through what? Through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what did it say after that? And being fully persuaded. I just saw the word being. We say that, you know, we read it all the time, and being fully persuaded. Do you ever stop to think what that means? Well, I mean, we just say the word. We just read the word. But it said that Abraham, being fully persuaded, what did he do because he was fully persuaded? And gave glory to God. But he had to be fully persuaded. That means he was already in a state of believing that what God said was so. He didn't have to fumble around with it. He was already, you could say, having already been convinced. Having already been convinced to the core that what God promised, he was able to perform. And folks, we have to start being about being. The reasons that we don't go and do things, the reason that we get so upset is because we're not being convinced. We're trying to become convinced when we should already be. We should already be because of what we already know. So, well, what do I know? What do you think you really need to know to be convinced? That God is faithful. Not a man that he should lie. That's good. Any other reasons? Who you are. Who you are. I'm God's child. So if I'm his child and he's a good father, I am who he says I am, and I have what he says I have. So when you think about it, we don't really need any additional information. We could be, as Pastor Clinton says, we could be some bad motor scooters with just that bit of information. But we have more than that. We have the whole Bible. We have the saints of old. We have the saints of new. You have what God's done in your life. If we would just consider those things, we would always be convinced to the core. We would always be fully persuaded. And there isn't anything we wouldn't tackle. We wouldn't have, there's this hesitation among believers. Even the word, I don't know if, you know, how they're going to feel if they hear me praying. So, yeah, I bless my food, but, you know, I got to kind of whisper it. Why? You're not thankful? So you'd show more emotion if your coworker came up and said, here's $500. You start jumping up and down and running all over the place, right? But God, who's given you food to eat, thank you, God, for this food. Oh, no. Are we convinced to the core? Are we being fully persuaded? Because when you are in that state, because I took the time to look at, it was hard in the concordance trying to find a definition for being because it was always associated with other words. So I went to my buddies, Merriam and Webster. Okay. And I figured, let's see what they have to say about it. They say it's the quality or state of having, not getting, having. It's something that actually exists. It's a conscious existence, a conscious existence. So when it says about Abraham being fully persuaded, Abraham was already convinced that what God said was already happening. That's what it was. So he didn't, when God said something, he didn't stagger at it. He didn't think, God, can you really do this? He said it, didn't he? Have you ever known God to say what he didn't mean? So if he says something to you, why should there be any doubt? Abraham had no doubt. It struck me. I don't know if it hits you the same way now that you're thinking about it, but I was reading. I said, and being fully, what did I just read? Being? I can't tell you how many times I've read that passage. And I never once paid attention to the word being. And I never, till this afternoon, thought about what that meant. And we have to start doing that. We have to start reading the word and thinking about what does this mean? There's a reason for every word that's printed, that was spoken. And when you catch this, then you understand this is something that I should already be doing. Well, think about it. We walk by and not by. The just shall by. All right, so right now, in the natural, we live because we can breathe. And we're always found to be breathing. Anybody that's not found to be breathing is dying. and you know, workers come, you call emergency workers, they come, and they do what they can so you can be breathing again. Well, since the just shall live by faith and we are the just, we should always be in faith for everything. We should never be found not in faith. No matter what comes, being in faith, we speak. Being in faith, we walk. Being in faith, we act. Being in faith, we pray. Being in faith, we lay hands. Being in faith, because we are in faith, we do these things. Because we believe. And nothing that God does will surprise us. God, I didn't think you'd do that. Why not? He said he would. Oh, I didn't think he'd do it for me. Why not? He said he would. Are we being fully persuaded? Are we being convinced to the core? I started thinking about, you know, some of the, you know, I call them Old Testament accounts. Well, before I get to that, would you please go to 1 Corinthians? Because the scripture just popped in. Actually, God told me to open the book, and I opened the book. And I just grabbed the page and turned it, and I'm like, oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Another scripture we all know. I'm in the King James, so we can read it together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This doesn't say you're going to find out. This says ye know. And we're supposed to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding, because we know. See, we're in a state of knowing. But I looked up what Pastor Rick had to say about that scripture. Steadfast is a Greek word, and I've chosen not to use the Greek words, because they have no meaning. You know, first of all, I can't pronounce them. But what's important is what they mean. So just so you know, that's why I say it's a Greek word that means, or in this case, it's a Greek word that conveys. Steadfast is a Greek word that conveys several meanings. First, it means to be stationary, such as something that sits in one place for a long, long time. One place. You know, so we can't, you know, I've been a host for 25 years. I think it's time to move on. No, you've been put in that place. You know, I was a youth director, I think, for 18 some odd years. When I tried to go into a different place using logic, Pastor Clinton just chopped that right down. I said, you know, Pastor Clinton, I said, you know, I believe we're getting to the place where the youth need someone a little younger. And he said, yeah, I agree. That's why you get some young people on staff. And I'm like, well, that didn't work. Okay. But it means to be stationary, such as something that sits in one place for a long, long time. It also describes something that is firm and steady. Firm and steady. Thus, the word was frequently used in connection with foundations in buildings. Furthermore, it describes something that is strong, unbendable, unbreakable, and permanent, such as a strong column that holds up a roof. And Paul is telling us we need to be like that. We need to be stationary. We need to be strong. We need to be unbendable, unbreakable, and permanent. We shouldn't be quickly shaken or easily lured. And I say we shouldn't be shaken or lured, period. Whether it's easily or takes someone a long time, we shouldn't be, because for us to be lured away means we've been deceived. And in order to be deceived, that has to mean that we have not listened to the Holy Ghost, whose job is to guide us into all truth. And so if we listen to the Holy Ghost, guess who will never be deceived? We won't. So we must be like pillars in place where we've been called to serve in the house of the Lord. See yourself as a pillar that others can depend on to be totally reliable. We need to understand that folks are depending on us always being in position, always being who we are. That's why you've heard me say it, you've heard Pastor Ed say it, you've been here long enough, you've heard Pastor Clinton say it all the time. the reason the world treats sinners, treats saints much harshly when they do the same thing sinners do, is they expect more from us. Mm-hmm. That we're their hope. And they know, okay, when I get finished, I know there's a group I can go to and they'll help me get back together again. And they look and we're doing the same thing they're doing and they get an attitude with us. And the courts throw the books at us. You know, you have a football player do something and his team may suspend him 2 or 3 games, but there won't be any criminal charges. A Christian do the same thing. If he's working, he gets fired. He goes to jail and is labeled, a sex offender or whatever else it is. Why? Because they don't expect that from him. And God doesn't expect it from us either. And you shouldn't expect it from you. Others can depend on you. You're totally reliable. He also exhorted us to be unmovable. Now, this is a translation of a Greek word that refers to something that is not, listen to this, is not capable of being moved. That means something different. No matter how hard you try, this thing cannot be moved. And that's how we're supposed to be. That's what the Apostle Paul said. None of these, he talked about everything he went through, the stonings, the beatings, the imprisonments. He said, none of these things move me. None of them. Some of us will be moved at the sight of a whip. But he said, oh no, I cannot be moved. Says that we, in other words, it says, when you say yes to a call of God in your life, you're to be a permanent fixture in that place where God has called you to serve. That's why it's imperative that we make up our minds to be a permanent fixture. That's why it's important that we become convinced to the core, this is what God called me to do, and this is what I'm doing until he tells me to do something else. Period. And nothing or no one can move you out of that spot. Because you're convinced to the core, to the very fiber of everything that makes you you, is convinced, this is where I am. This is who I am. And this is what I'll always be found being. And nothing is going to change that. But we have to make up our minds. God's already made up his mind, but he's not going to force us into anything. We have to make up our minds that we're going to do it. And the moment, get this revelation, the moment you make up your mind that you're going to do it, the enemy's going to come and try and move you. Why does he do that? Because he's trying to move you before you get your roots in place. But he doesn't know wherever I place my, when I place my foot in the place God said, it immediately takes root. And the only thing that can uproot it is my mind. By saying things, I'm not ready. I don't understand. I don't feel led to do this. Abraham didn't feel led to leave his father's house either. But he went with God and not what he was feeling, even though he didn't go right away, but he went eventually. So we have to be thoroughly dedicated to fulfill our assignment and carry on and follow through until the task is done the way the Lord expects it to be done. Sometimes we'll do things, say, okay, I'm finished. Oh, no, is it done the way God told you to do it? Anything worth doing is worth being done right. And I heard a quote that changed my attitude about things completely. I heard it many years ago. It said, why is it never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over? <That's true. laughs> My job was to mop the floor, was to scrub the floor. See, you didn't, growing up in the 50s, you didn't mop the floor. You scrubbed the floor. And if I was rushing because I wanted to do something else and I didn't have enough time to scrub it and I would mop it, Mommy would look at me and said, "Didn't I tell you to scrub the floor?" "Yes, ma'am." I said, "No, I didn't tell you to scrub at the floor." And then that's why I think, you know, grizzly bears and Marine drill sergeants, I think all of them went to her for their training. Okay. Because then she made me scrub the floor with a toothbrush. And when I finished, I had to read the poem "If" three or four times. Yeah, I'm keeping my head, but I'm losing my mind. I wasn't saved then, so I could say things like that. Okay. But look how the Passion Translation puts that scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "So now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures." Now, I looked up a term. I didn't really have to look it up. It was a footnote. In the Aramaic, which was the original translation, fruit that endures, that phrase in the Aramaic, it means always have the Lord's possessions in abundance. Always. So we could read it. "So now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive, and we always have the Lord's possessions in abundance." We have the Lord's possessions in abundance. And you have to be convinced about that. Abraham didn't stagger because he was convinced. He was living in that conviction. And we have to have that same mindset. See, being convinced to the core, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will." They were convinced. The Apostle Paul, being convinced, you know, when he was on the ship, he was convinced, and he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." And it will be just as he said. He was convinced to the core. So he spoke. David said, being convinced to the core, said, "Your servant killed a lion and killed a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." He was convinced of that. Nothing could move. The king couldn't move him off of that. The king said, you're only a kid. He's been killing people since he was a kid. They're like, where is that? Being convinced to the core, the woman with the issue of blood said, "If I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." The centurion, being convinced to the core, said, "Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." That's all. Just speak the word. I'm convinced you can do this. I know. I'm under authority. So just like I'm under authority, you under authority. What I say, they have to do. What you say, it has to go. Just go ahead. Just say a word. And it says, at that moment, his servant was healed. Because he was convinced. See, Jesus could have said, "Be healed," and if he wasn't convinced, it wouldn't have happened. Yeah. So how do you know that? Because there was another account when they were all in one house. And the Bible says clearly, the power to heal was there. Amen. Not one person in the house got healed. And if God took the time to have it written, the power was there to heal, has to mean there were people in that house that needed healing. But some good friends brought a guy on a stretcher because they were convinced if they got him to Jesus, he'd be healed. But the place was sold out, so to speak. Couldn't get in the door. They didn't care. They were convinced. They were not going to be moved because you couldn't get in the door. They're like, there are other ways to get in there. So they got this guy up on a roof and then tore open the roof. And I'm thinking, did they travel with tools back in those days? Because they tore the roof off and then lowered him down. They say, well, okay, we're going to get there, and the place is going to be crowded. So, okay, who has the little we'll need a little axe to coat. You have, okay. Who's bringing the rope? I got the rope over. Okay, good. You got the rope. You have enough? Because we don't want him to fall when he goes down there. So, well, if he does, he's just going to heal him again. Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's fine. No, they just went. That's all they just went. God tells us to go. We have to make sure we got everything in place. We got to buy new outfits. you know, got to get new shoes. Got to, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel? Okay. We go about doing all of these things. We do everything except go. Then at the last minute, something came up. We say, yeah, I was all ready to go. I'd gotten everything together. And, you know, the old Slewfoot, he shows up. Wait a minute. I read in this book where we were given power over all the power of the devil. Yeah, we were. So how could he stop us? We're not convinced. And we have to be. We have to be. We have to stop staggering at God's promise. We have to stop acting like maybe he didn't mean us. That's calling my father a liar. I don't like you calling my dad a liar. I used to get in fights in school for that. I did. Now, I'm not going to fight you. But that's what that's saying. That's saying, God, I don't believe you'll do this for me. You're not convinced. You have to be in that state of being fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able to perform and will perform for you. That's all I'm going to give you tonight. We've done what God wanted to do tonight. We were storming the gates of hell. They couldn't prevail against us, so that means we got in. We got in. And if we got in, some people got out. They got out. So don't be surprised when you start hearing some different things, because some people just got out. And now they're out and they're going to start talking about what they saw when they were in there. Okay? Expect it. Because I do. Father, we just thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, this was fun. This was fun. Doing your work is always fun. And in the process, we learned. We learned so much. Simple things with really substantial meanings. Abraham, being in faith, being fully persuaded, didn't stagger at your promises. Gave you glory. And we're going to be the same way. Being fully persuaded, we're not going to stagger at your promise. We're not going to stagger at anything the enemy does. We're going to be steadfast, immovable, unable to be moved. staying in the position, doing the work that you've called us to do, period. And we're going to continue to do it, Lord, until you say stop or until you move us somewhere else. And we're going to understand, Lord, that everything we do is being done because of our relationship with you and in your strength, not ours. Because when we do things in our strength, we fail. We get tired. We can't complete. But when we do everything in your strength, everything gets done the way you want it to get done. We thank you for allowing the Holy Ghost to let us know every time we start moving from your strength into our strength. And every time he lets us know, we will make the proper adjustment, because we don't ever want to be found doing things in our own strength. Your word is clear. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers this evening. And the confidence we have is that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. But we asked according to your will. And since we know you hear us, we know we have the petitions that we ask for. So we shout hallelujah right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because we know it's done. We've asked according to your will, you've heard it, and you've answered. And we, your children, say thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.